It's good to see all of you this morning. We do have visitors, and we're always appreciative of your attendance, of your presence. We want you to understand you are You are our honored guest. If you have any questions about what's preached here or taught here, we would be glad to sit down and discuss with you if you have any questions. If you disagree with what is taught here, then by all means, feel free to discuss with us. Just be willing to open your Bible and have a good, reasonable discussion of God's Word. There is a phrase in the Bible that asks the question, where are you going? It's found 9 times in the Scriptures as a whole, 6 times in the Old Testament, 3 times in the New Testament. In the New Testament, as we've recently studied, it's asked of Jesus. In John chapter 13, verse 36, Peter asked Jesus this question, where are you going, Lord? In John 14, as we noticed this morning, Thomas asked the question of the Lord, where are you going? And in John 16, we're going to notice that Jesus made the statement in regards to the coming of the Holy Spirit. But we're going to ask this question in a different way. We're going to ask this question in regards to the church here at ESAG. Where are we going? Where are we going? What does our future look like? You know, we cannot examine the future of the church here, of the work here, without looking at our recent past. And I'm going to go way back to where we have been, all the way back to 2020. Two very stressful things happened that year, two things that stressed the congregation. One of those was you hired a new preacher, me. Hiring a preacher is a very stressful time for any congregation. Building a new building project, that's a second stressful thing, and appointing elders is a third stressful thing. But the second stressful thing that we had happen was COVID. Now, when COVID hit, there were multiple changes that not only us, but other congregations had to make. We canceled services. We picked up and decided to go with a live stream. Myself and a few others would come and have the live stream so that if you had access to the internet, you could still have your services at home. And we did that. Our Bible classes were canceled. But as time progressed, we're trying to come back. Now, COVID, like now, sticks its little ugly head up and it backs us up a little bit or slows us down, but we're trying to come back. We're no longer shut down like we were in 2020, but we're still observing the Lord's Supper with the prepackaged elements as we did this morning. Now, we did change it up a little bit this morning, and I appreciate it. To me, personally, it looked good seeing 4 men up here passing out the trays. I miss those days. There's a lot of things I miss that we used to do pre-COVID that we don't do anymore. And that's one of them. I hope and my prayer is to eventually get away from the prepackaged and go back to the old way that we used to do it and have one of the sisters prepare the communion trays in the back. Fill the individual cups up and make the church bread at home. To me, and I know it's a personal thing, but homemade communion bread tastes so much better than what you can buy. I don't care if it's an oyster cracker or whatever. And the grape juice seems to taste better. But our classes, we had to stop our classes. And as I said, we're trying to return to a sense of normal. Our services have pretty much returned to normal. We have our Bible classes here at the building. We have our Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night services. We're pretty much back to normal. We still have the live stream, and that's, to me, that's a wonderful tool that we can have because we have some that are shut in, and we have some that are out of state that watch the live stream, and they comment on it from time to time. But our services are trying to return to normal, and I'm thankful for that. We do have our classes. We have extra classes right now. We have a men's Bible study once a month out at Danny Law's house. He has what he calls the Cracker Barrel. I think the grandkids have nicknamed it that or whatever. And this Bible study that we have every first Saturday of every month is well attended. We've never had under 15. I think 17 might be the lowest we've had. But we've had as many as 30 men attend these Bible studies. We have a summer Bible series here at the building. And I know that picture is going to hurt some because there's people in that picture that are no longer with us. But that's the last picture I have. And that summer Bible series, Sister Rosa Lee was a big proponent of it. She was a big encouragement to me to have this summer Bible series, as well as some of you others. And I'm already looking at workbooks to start this back up as soon as possible. But in our posting these classes on Facebook or whatever, I've been getting requests from other congregations, from men at other places. Can you give me advice on how to start it up where I'm at? I've had men from across the ocean ask me if they can watch our monthly men's Bible study. We don't access it to the internet. But other congregations have asked how they can start a monthly men's Bible class as well as the summer Bible series. I'm flattered. I'm humbled and I'm honored that they look at us as kind of leading the way in those things. But now let's ask the question, where are we now? Well, right now, we're maintaining. And I don't mean that in a negative way. That's a positive thing. We're maintaining where we're at. Our attendance is remaining steady with some growth. We have hit almost 80 for several Sundays in a row. And that's a contribution to you. That is attributed to you inviting people to come and visit with us. Our classes, as I said, are being well attended. And we're maintaining our growth and our classes, but we're also maintaining our leadership. We still have 3 elders that we can have confidence in who lead and guide this flock. We still have 6 deacons, all who perform their job faithfully. We're maintaining our teachers for our young Bible classes in the back. And let me suggest to you, these teachers, not taking away anything from the elders and deacons, but these teachers do a wonderful job. And it's been suggested that if you haven't been in the back, go to the back, down the hallway, and look in the classrooms to see how good of a job they're doing with the visual aids that they have. But let me say this, they are stretched. They are stressed at times, distressed at times. And we need to commend them for the job that they are doing. We need more teachers to step up and to follow the curriculum that is provided for them. We need to look in on their work in their classrooms and let them know how much we appreciate the work that they're doing. That's one way that we can maintain. And by the way, let the elders know how much you appreciate their work and the deacons as well. Now here's the big question. Where are we going? What does our future hold for us? In 2024, and I know you're going to say, well, Jeff, we're already into February, but what does 2024 hold for us and even the years past 2024? Like I said, the year's already begun. We're close to the end of the month of February, 2 months into this year. Well, on a positive side, as Brother David Stone pointed out last week, the elders met and we have a budget. The elders have met and agreed on this budget, and Brother David Stone presented it to the congregation last week. If you listen to what he said and follow the outline that was handed out to everyone, you'll see that our financial situation is good. We are in good shape with room to do more work, I believe. We support several men, as was mentioned in the opening prayer, from around the world. I think it's 5 men total that we're supporting right now. And the Word of God is being reached to those in the far corners of the world because of your efforts and your contribution. And if you'd like to know more about these men that we support, as you exit the back of the auditorium on the left-hand side, there's a bulletin board there with reports from these preachers. And some of you are even friends on Facebook with some. But their reports are there for you to look at. We have had major work done at the facilities here this year. We had the parking lot that had to be resurfaced and restriped. That's maintenance upon the building here. That's being good stewards, because it was getting in pretty bad shape and we had the funds and we took care of it. There was also some gutters replaced and repaired. We have to spend money to maintain the building in order to be good stewards of what God has given us. Now, our classes, as we continue to focus on our classes, again, we have the men's Bible study and it is being successful. We have different speakers from all over the mid-state area that come in, and several from here that speak every month. And it's been well attended with 20 to 30 men almost every month that we have a men's Bible study. Men from several different congregations are represented, as I said, from the Middle Tennessee area. Of course, we have them here from Bedford County, but we have them all the way from Murray County, which is Spring Hill, where they come from, Marshall County, the Hickory Heights congregation. We have them from Rutherford County, the Murfreesboro area, Coffee County, and into Grundy County. We have them coming from Mont Eagle Mountain. Two preachers meet up and come from Mont Eagle Mountain every month to sit and join us for our men's Bible study. Like I said, I've been contacted on how to start these classes in other places. They asked me, well, how did you get it started? I said, we just met and started the class. And how do we maintain this interest in our class? We advertise it on Facebook, and Danny sends out a group text to all the men that come. It's not being forced upon anybody. It's just that people are interested in coming to these men's Bible studies. And do I think it would be possible to start one up where they are? Well, yes. Yes. All you have to do is start it. It's like the movie Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. If you start a Bible study, they will show up. Like I say, we have our summer Bible series. Again, it's always well attended. And it's mostly from people here, our members, always well attended. And we've had 20 plus members that show up for this Bible study. But we also have members from area congregations that come and attend. And that impresses me, that people from other congregations want to come during the middle of the week and sit down and discuss God's Word. This class, though, is live streamed. So if you're unable to come and you are at home, you can still watch on the live stream. Now, granted, you're not going to see everybody else in the auditorium, but you can hear their comments and look at my ugly face during the live stream. And we do it's live stream because we have it here at the building. And again, I'll reemphasize, the men's Bible study every month is at Danny Law's house. Now let's talk about the eldership and the deacons. In the last couple of meetings that the elders have had, there has been discussion of the eldership in the future here at Eastside. And when we talk about this, they are making the decision to ask you to look for additional elders and deacons. That's their goal. That's their plan. Going forward, if you have any ideas of men that you think would serve or meet the qualifications to serve, they're going to ask you to nominate those men if you want to consider it nominating, or put their names forward for discussion. But there's going to be a format, a different format probably than what you've been used to in the past. The way we're going to do it this time is there's going to be a handout. It's going to be similar to this on the screen. It's going to be more lengthy. This is just a sample with some of the qualifications that elders have to meet. But you're going to take a handout, and you're going to write that man's name on that list, on that line. The elders are putting this responsibility on your shoulders. And it takes out some of the loop or runaround that they would have to do by putting it on your shoulders. you're going to have to look at the qualifications, and there's going to be two columns over here. Yes, he desires the office. You check yes. If you check no, that's as far as you need to go with it, man. If he don't desire the office, then it doesn't matter if he meets the other qualifications. You take that list and you put it aside, and if you've got another man, then you go with that. But along with this qualification or this format, you have to look at the individual. The qualifications are going to be listed. They're going to be printed on a handout for you to take. And like I say, you're going to put his name at the top so you'll remember who you're talking about, thinking about, as you go down that list of qualifications. You're going to look at these qualifications, and you're going to look at each one. You're going to take a copy, and you're going to say, now, brother so-and-so, and I'm going to go down the checklist of the qualifications, and I'm going to check off yes or no. Does he meet these qualifications? If I say no, then I need to put on there or on the back or somewhere, why? Why don't I think, or why does he not meet this qualification? Now, another stipulation to this is you're going to be required to make contact or visit with whoever you are considering to be an elder. Did you catch that? If you want to see if a man is going to serve or will be willing to serve as an elder, you have to take the list and you have to make contact with him. You can't just go to the elders and say, well, I think Brother John Boy would make a good elder, and then rely on them to follow up with it. This puts the onus or the responsibility on you. You will ask the man, whether you go visit or contact him through phone call or whatever. And one thing that this does, it helps you to make face-to-face conversation with this brother. Like I say, if he says, I don't desire the office, you may spend some time trying to convince him, but if he's not going to be convinced, then you need to move on to the next brother. But each one of us is going to be required to visit or contact whoever we are considering to see if he's interested. You have to talk to him. And then you submit your paperwork to the elders. Submit your list, however many men that you think would meet these qualifications, if it's just one or if it's three or six or whatever, then you submit those lists to the elders and let them see that you have made contact with these men and go down the list and check yes or no. And then they will take these forms, this format, if you will, that have been turned into them, and they'll put those names before you as a congregation. Now, this is where it may get a little uncomfortable. If they put a name before the congregation and you disagree with a name that has been submitted, you're going to have to go to that fellow and talk to him. You are responsible for going to that individual and saying, I don't think you are qualified to be an elder. We cannot put all of this responsibility on the three existing elders. You have to take some of the responsibility on your own shoulders. You go to that individual and say, Brother so-and-so, your name was submitted to be an elder. I don't believe you're qualified. And then you have to discuss with him which qualification you don't think he meets and find out why. And then after the allotted time, the elders, when they let all the congregation know who's these men will be, you will again have a chance to determine which ones will be the new elders. And we will appoint elders. But also the list will be done the same way for the deacons. You'll have the responsibility of yourself to go to these men and talk to them to see if they meet the qualifications, yes or no, and then turn it into the elders. And if his name comes up and you don't think he meets the qualification, then you again have to go talk to that individual. It's not going to be a one and done thing. This is going to take some time. Now, again, where are we going? To me, with the elders talking about this decision of looking for more elders to expand the eldership and more deacons to serve in that capacity, I think it's a positive decision for the congregation here. In my humble opinion, the elders are looking for the future. They understand, first of all, they're not as young as they once were. No offense, Charles, since you're the only elder here. But that's the consensus of all three elders. They all agree they're not as young as they used to be. So this is the wisdom that's on their part. They see a need, and they're expressing how to accomplish, how to fulfill this need. So again, this is wisdom on their part, and we should admire them and let them know we appreciate their efforts in wanting to look to the future to make sure that we're still strong. And it is believed that there is enough work that we could have more men serving as deacons. Now, you might be wondering, when are we going to start this? When will we start this? Well, I believe the list will be printed, the checklist or the format list will be printed and ready for your taking next Sunday. And then in March, we can begin looking for preachers, or not preachers, for elders. And then once we have elders, then we'll go through the process again with deacons. With the future of Eastside being in consideration, I want to make some recommendations. The first thing that we must do as a congregation when approaching appointment of new elders and new deacons is pray. Not only pray that the existing elders have the wisdom and the knowledge they need to lead us forward, but pray that you and I will make the best decisions and follow God's word in the qualifications that He has given us through His Holy Spirit to inspire the man that has written these qualifications. And if you're wondering, these qualifications are found in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. Pray. Pray in private when you kneel down on your knees at home in your quiet place. Pray that this will be successful, that there will be no turmoil, that there will be no hiccups, no bumps in the road. We need to be praying in public. When the men stand before the congregation, we need to pray for this event that's coming up. Pray. Pray, pray, and pray again. Now, the question might be, what if our elders get to the point where they no longer can serve and we don't have elders? Well, first of all, the elders we've got have foresight. They're looking to the future. And again, I commend them for this. But to answer the question, could we continue without elders and deacons? Well, yes. Yes, but it's not in a scriptural way. A scripturally organized church has both elders and deacons. That's the example that we see in the scriptures. So absolutely, we could continue with elders. But it's good that our elders are looking and wanting to guide the church here further down the road in coming days and even in years to come. One final thought. Pray. We all talk about that we believe in the power of prayer. Pray. Pray, pray, pray. Continue to pray both publicly and privately that this, everything that we do will be according to God's will. And speaking of praying, let's bow our heads right now and begin with a word of prayer. All wise and merciful Heavenly Father, Lord, as we are bowed before you at this time, we realize that you are the God of creation, that everything that you have said and spoken has come to fruition, that you are the God that has made promises to his people and been faithful to keep every promise. Lord, as we look into our future here at Eastside, we thank you for the elders that we have and for their foresight and wisdom to look further into our future and see a need for more elders in our future. We ask, dear Lord, that as we take this endeavor upon ourselves as a congregation of your people, that each one of us will look within ourselves and look to your word for our wisdom and for our guidance. And help us, dear Lord, to understand that these men must meet every qualification and that we will look to your word, and that everything that we do in this approach, in this coming future, would be done in a peaceful way. There will be no turmoil, no hard feelings, no upset people. We ask, dear Lord, that we will all be cordial in our discussion of these qualifications, that we will be cordial toward one another, and that there will be no hateful thought or rhetoric. Again, we ask, dear Lord, that as we go forward as a congregation here of your people, that everything will be done in a manner that is well pleasing to your sight and in accordance with your will. And we offer this prayer in your Son's holy name. Amen. Like I say, this is a positive thing. I don't know who you may have in mind to serve as an elder. That's between you and whoever you ask. But it's up to you to approach that man when you have these lists in your hand. Go to them privately. Don't meet with them in a public place like in the foyer back here and begin talking about his qualifications or lack of qualifications. Contact them privately. That's the best way to do it. That's the only way to do it. And like I say, this is so much appreciated with our elders having this foresight to look at the future and to maintain strength and dignity and continuity here at the church, the congregation at Eastside. But all that being said, this is a congregation that expects that if you need to obey the Word of God, that you will have listened to God's Word. And that's the approach that we want to take in applying and looking for elders. But if you are here and you've heard the Word of God and you realize that you need to be an obedient child of God, this is an opportunity for you to become that obedient child, to put Christ on in baptism, and to serve Christ. But if you've done that and you've gone back into the world, this is an opportunity for you as well. We all believe in the power of God's Word. We all believe in the power of prayer. If you are here and you need to repent of something that stands between you and eternity, eternal salvation, then make your way to the front and we will pray with you and for you on behalf of you and for whatever sins you may have committed. Again, if you're here this morning and you need to respond to the invitation, I pray that you'll make your way to the front while together we stand.